Blog Talk Radio.
For today's show, Talk Geek with Tyler Brook podcast, live from Pearl River, New York. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing it in Los Angeles, where it kind of looks like Seattle these last couple weeks with the rain. 347-205-9631. If you miss it, tell all your friends. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So, as I lay the red carpet, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, more him, less of me, let me lay it down to you, Tyler the Threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, you're bringing another great guest in today.
Thanks, Mark, and yes, true on all accounts. And as for the weather over there, I'd like to offer my sympathies. But I'm living in New York right now, and I got to tell you, it's colder than Sharon Stone. But that said, yes, we actually have another great guest. Stephanie, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great and drier and warmer than both of you, it sounds like.
Oh, sure. Don't rub it in too hard. I'm sure many of our guests are unfamiliar with who you are, what you do. So would you like to tell the audience about yourself and where they can find you?
Yeah. My name is Stephanie Stone, and I'm part of a creative collective called Middle Kingdom Creatives, and we're here in Beijing, China. It's a mix of expats and Chinese nationals. Mostly we do some live theater, but we've recently produced a full cast audiobook and are always keen on the lookout for additional projects to do. And you can find us at Middle Kingdom Creatives on, you know, across all social platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram.
Terrific. Before we dive into the topic, I'd like to make a couple announcements in regards to my sponsors. This episode is sponsored by both ExoSpace and Star Candles, both of which offer my products. The latter of which, if you buy one of their candles, the official candle, Lemongrass, a good portion of that money will go help abused women and struggling single mothers. But if you don't feel like having more clutter around your house, that's fine. Don't forget to visit my Patreon page because I can't live off my good looks for free, because not all of us can have an OnlyFans page. So, Stephanie, first off, I want to say thank you for bringing this topic to my attention.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always fun to geek out about creative life.
It really is. That's how I try to make a living. So in case you couldn't tell from the little South Park special song, we're going to be talking about geeking during COVID. What does that mean? In short, it basically means how COVID has affected geek life, what's really become popular during the COVID times, which I guess pretty much ranged from 2019 to the modern era, because we still have to mask up if you ever just need some blood work done, and everything else that's fun in between. So, Stephanie, I'm going to ask you a question first.
Yeah.
How did you come up with this topic?
We came up with this topic because at the beginning of COVID, on the cusp of COVID, I had met some new friends here in Beijing, and we come from diverse entertainment backgrounds, film, theater, playwriting, and we're like, let's do a play. and then COVID hits and no one can do anything, there's a lot of non-social distancing involved in theater production. So we had to pivot a few times. And what grew out of that was the Dystopian Detective Agency, which is if you ever wondered what would happen if Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and Blade Runner had a baby, like this is the answer to that burning eternal question. So we ended up geeking out quite a bit creatively, and we have a fun project to show for it. Should be out soon on Audible, Spotify, et cetera.
Interesting. You and I clearly have two different definitions of burning question. My burning question is, who decided to drink whatever comes out of a cow's nipple? That's my burning question.
It is a great question. We'll have to wait to the next pandemic to answer that one, I'm afraid.
So is that the one with ape rising, or is that the one with aliens taking over? Because I want to know what I'm preparing for.
It's a gamble, I think. Alien apes taking over.
Yes, well, by definition, technically, if you caught my alien episode, we're all aliens because we're all strangers living on different planets. Some literally, some figuratively. And we got our first comment. First, we have Ray from Walla Walla, Washington. What was this, a town made by Stan Lee? COVID had really killed the industry. Now it looks like it's getting better. Any thoughts? On the whole,
yes,
it has gotten better. I mean, most of the people, and I feel bad for saying this, had either died from COVID, got immunized to COVID, or just naturally had COVID, and it no longer affects them to the same degree. And conventions are opening again, which I'm very glad to hear as a frequent convention goer myself. So it's not done. But I do agree it's getting better. Stephanie, your thoughts?
Yeah, definitely getting better. I know China was in a bid to host the next World Science Fiction Convention, I believe it is. I'm getting the name slightly skewed. But I think they won that bid, and it's supposed to happen this year, if I'm not mistaken. China doesn't do, obviously, as many conventions in the same way, like, San Diego Comic-Con or something like that. But definitely.
Oh, sure.
I mean,
don't mention New York Comic-Con to the New Yorker. No, mention the San Diego Comic-Con to the New Yorker. No, that's
Sorry. Deep apologies.
That's all good.
Yeah, but, I mean, things are coming back to life here in the creative industries, which is good to see. I have some friends who do, when you're watching YouTube or you're playing some other game and you get those pop-up ads like, play these slot games. I have some friends who do those slot game ads, and they've been out of work for a few months here with the latest strain of COVID in China. So they're back to work now, and you can expect to see some of those fun gems coming your way, which I'm sure we've all missed.
Awesome, and I'm sorry to hear about your friend. We got another question. Tony from Oceanside, California. Hey, Tyler. You and Stephanie sound great. Can't get enough of the show each and every Monday. It's the golden goose. Tony, I'll thank you.
Tony, you're my new favorite person today. Thank you.
Ouch. The guy that invited you on his live show to
talk
about your stuff.
Second favorite person. Tony, I'm sorry. We'll talk
okay,
later.
Okay, yeah, that's better.
Tyler.
Okay, that's better. And speaking of Tyler, Dave from Tyler, Texas. Godzilla
hey.
Was the best I know. Stephanie is in China. What's the outpouring of this creature? Well, if memory serves, Godzilla was more of a Japanese-inspired creature. I would say the only pop culture thing I could know out of China is pretty much Journey to the West, which eventually gave birth to Dragon Ball, even if inadvertently.
Yeah. No, I was going to say. But I think it'd be an interesting thought experiment. Like, would the Monkey King be able to defeat Godzilla? I don't know.
Didn't he have, like, 72 different powers?
He has quite a few. I've lost track. He definitely has that magical staff, and I think he can make himself bigger. So that would be a pretty cool showdown. Why has no one thought of this? Godzilla versus the Monkey King.
So it's basically magic versus science.
I think Godzilla is like nuclear powered. So, yeah,
no,
yeah, magic versus
the
science.
The Iron Man. Magic is basically just science we haven't figured out yet.
Touche.
Well, that said, actually, I would rather, there are a bunch of fights I would rather see personally before I even get to the idea, before we get radioactive lizard demon, before we get to, well, basically the Superman of China.
That's fair. And yeah.
And
he's
if we're
going to
dive down that route, it's the same question I asked, who would win in a fight, Batman versus Spider-Man? Which incarnation of Batman and or Spider-Man are we talking about? And which incarnation of Godzilla to you, which are you referring?
Oh, my gosh. That's a deep question. You need to sift through all of the possibilities. Very true.
Exactly. Gail from Fort Myers, Florida. Keep up the great work. By the way, have you seen the movie Megan? That was number one this week. Unfortunately, I have not seen Megan. I'm really trying to save my money, and movies are expensive. Do not get me started on snackage there. And movies are always funny to me. I mean, granted, I know they took a hit during these COVID times, but I'm paying all this money, buying $15 for popcorn, $15 for snacks. Feels like I got to take a mortgage out just to see the latest MCU piece of crap, and I'm still sitting through ads. What the hell?
It's a fair point, you know. I think you need to upgrade on those 4D chairs and stuff, though, and then you're getting that full surround sound experience.
Well, no, what I would want are people massaging my feet and back while I'm enjoying the movie. You know, just go full Roman Empire on this shit.
100%. No, that's a glorious idea. I feel there's probably a spot in China where they do this. So... I'll find it, and I'll report back.
Please and thank you. Also, buy my plane ticket. Also,
when
do
my mobile
flash.
Game
ad no
is
coach,
really
bitch.
Big and I'm making the money.
All right, fair enough. But honestly, the last thing I saw in theaters was that Avatar movie, the Blue People, not Airbender.
Oh.
For all of you that were thinking it. Got to say, visually... I would say only a few films rival it, the original Avatar film as well as the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but plot-wise, it was very derivative. It felt like this movie was the type of movie where you just pop in an edible and just watch it and go in and awe-inspired. Like back when they had planetariums, or I'm not even sure if they still have them anymore, where you see all the hippies hang out, that's the type of movie this is.
Very fair. I feel like they're not trying to tell a good story. I feel like it's a pet project in film innovation, which is great because the rest of the industry benefits from that innovation and those new technologies. But I don't know anyone who's really going into these Avatar movies for the storyline. And honestly, I'm much more interested in the Airbender series and the new one that's coming out soon.
If you're watching this for the plot, you might as well be watching porn for the plot. That's all I can say about that.
Very fair.
Hey, did you order this pizza? Oh, sir, I don't have any money to pay you with. I'm sure we can think something out. Same concept, everything I saw coming a mile away. And it's sad to see that a movie that it was easily a big box office hit, the sequel managed to lose to Puss in Boots. And I don't even think DreamWorks was trying that hard with that one.
There, right? You got the kids. The kids are a big market, so.
They really are. If you catch my marketing to kids episode with Ken Weisselman, for those of you that don't know, he created both Teletubbies and Thomas the Tank Engine. Kids are very hard to market towards when you compare them to adults.
For sure. Oh, that's fascinating.
It's like, how do I put this? Have you seen the Seinfeld episode with the reservation?
Yes.
Same comparison. It's easy to get the attention. I got it. It's all a matter about keeping the attention,
keeping it,
which you really can't do for kids.
Yeah, no, that's
other ways that COVID's really changed the way geeks think is the content that came out, whether it's Chainsaw Man or Demon Slayer by anime standards, or hell, even Western stuff. Is there anything you really dived into popularity-wise, at least that came out during the time of COVID?
I think for my circle of friends, we were really we didn't entrench too much in that, but we did really entrench in moving our like tabletop RPG games online, and so that's when I got deeper into some of that world. And you know, now that we can all be in person again, we're you know, rolling for initiative about once a week or so, which is awesome. So yeah, I think that for myself, I got deeper into like, you know, watching Critical Role or, you know, the Oxventure series and geeking out more over, you know, D&D and tabletop RPG stuff. But that was just the circle I was running in.
Oh, hey, whatever works.
Yeah.
If you haven't checked, but if you're looking for something that somehow relates to the whole COVID experience, and if you have Paramount Plus and or HBO Max, definitely check out the South Park COVID specials.
Oh, for sure. And I have
They're
not.
Just hilarious.
So I'm
going
to look them up now. After watching, listening to that song that you sent, played at the intro, I'm like, absolutely. It's a little too real.
Hey,
it's
say
so
what
so
you want about Trey
Parr
and Max Stone, but there's no doubt in my mind that those two are easily the most talented modern artists of our time. And I do call them artists. Joey from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. Paramount is the plus, is the best. Tulsa King. Joey, in what regard do you say that? Because, honestly, HBO Max has some great content. DC continuity, several movies, Cartoon Network lineups. Is there anything you're enjoying on HBO Max?
I don't have HBO Max, but what I did just finish on Netflix was a Mindbender, $18.99, a series. They just have season one out now. It's from the people who did, was it called The Dark? It's like Inception. It's like Inception meets The Matrix. And it just bends your mind, and you're like, wait, what again? I couldn't stop watching it. It was super dope. Big recommend.
If you think Netflix bends your minds with this, I'm going to allow it to bend it even further. Netflix was the original source for Blockbuster's death. They then created a series about Block being the last Blockbuster in existence, but then they got canceled after one season. So congratulations, Netflix. You managed to kill Blockbuster twice.
Hey. Oh, the irony. I think someone over there had a vendetta, perhaps.
Perhaps. But with that said and done, can I get a quick drum roll from you, Stephanie, please?
Drum rolling.
Trivia question time. In the South Park COVID special, which South Park character is responsible for causing COVID? Again, in the South Park COVID special, which South Park character is responsible for causing COVID? Answer now, and a special prize awaits you.
Woo! We love a good special prize.
Speaking of Netflix, for those of you that haven't heard, Squid Game will be getting another season coming up shortly. And if you haven't checked it out, check out my Squid Game episode. I've had nominations received from all myriads of characters through all backgrounds, whether they be anime, comics, or even live-action TV shows. And speaking of selections, you've actually chosen a great one for my upcoming Tournament of Power episode.
Yes.
Yes.
For those of you that don't know what it is.
You don't remember what the character was, or you don't remember what the concept I'm bringing to the table is?
Concept, yes. I don't remember my character. Where is it? It's been a bit. I'm looking back at my notes.
Demona.
Yes.
Which, incidentally, #KeepEngineGargoyles. Now,
yes.
That's been done. What awaits us for the upcoming Squid Game? That was something that definitely became popular during COVID times. Are we going to get the same games? Or are we going to get something new and interesting? Either way, stay tuned. Now, if there was a Squid Game game show, without the death, of course, would you be interested in playing that stuff? And if so, how far do you think you could go?
This is going to be the most disappointing answer. I am one of the least competitive people that I know. So I would be the host of the game show. I don't think I would be a contestant because I feel that I'm just never that clever right on the spot, which is why I'm not an improv actor for the most part. And I would probably die right away. I don't know. Or I would be that underdog, like the dark horse that just kind of creeps in and surprises everybody. And then at the end, people are like, she didn't really deserve it. Everyone else was cooler and better than her. But I was like, whatever, I want it. So I'm either hosting or dark horsing, one of the two.
Interesting answer. But I'll take it. Although, keep in mind, the Squid Games that were or happened, which in order were Red Light, Green Light, the Honeycomb Challenge, the Midnight Brawl, which wasn't official, but did cause several casualties, so we therefore include it, the Tug of War game, the Marbles game, Glass Bridge, and then the Ultimate game, the titular Squid Game itself. Now, it's funny. If you're a fan of Survivor, minus the death, of course, games like these have obviously been very big hits.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, but honestly, and if you haven't watched Squid Game, do yourself a favor, don't watch it dubbed. It's like watching, do you remember the anime Astro Boy?
Yes.
Okay, remember when it first made it to the States?
I don't remember it that clearly, but I know the reference.
Or even better, Speed Racer?
Yes.
You remember how that got dubbed?
No.
Yeah, it really didn't match the words at all. It's like the worst ventriloquist act you'll ever see times 1,000.
Oh, no.
So if you're going to watch it, watch it subbed. But if you want to watch it and you have shit to do, then you go ahead and watch it dubbed. I'll try not to judge you for it, but I can't make any promises.
It's definitely better with the subs. I tried watching it both ways, and subs is the way to go, for sure. And
that
said,
I'm not
shitting
on dub watchers, so don't get me wrong on that. It's just the way it's executed is just really off-putting for this particular one.
Yeah, it's not as good. And I love the dude from Train to Busan is in it, and seeing him in kind of a villainesque, shady McShaderson role was very fun. So
for those unfamiliar with the character, they are...
Oh, say again?
For those of us that are unfamiliar with that particular actor, which role did they play?
So he was the gentleman who went to find the contestants and played that slap game, like if you can slap me for whatever amount of money.
He was the recruiter, so to speak.
The recruiter, exactly.
Hey, that could have been your position for the Squid Game. Recruiter, just start slapping people on the street. It's like, I like your moxie.
That'd be great.
Join my game show.
That'd be great. I'm in.
That would definitely be an interesting way to recruit people. It's like, how'd you get here? Oh, I slapped some lady. Me too.
Yeah.
Which out of context is really messed up.
Yeah. It's an interesting strategy. I think that speaks a lot to the company culture of the company.
Hey, whatever gets your foot in the door. All publicity is good publicity, the way I look at it.
That's what they say.
Which, honestly, as far as movies go, I feel like the MCU's really started taking a nosedive. I mean, don't get me wrong. Shang-Chi, good. The Spider-Man movie is just fan service. And I say fan service in the most wholesome way possible, not the one y'all probably are thinking of.
I'm a little behind on my MCU, but, yeah, I've enjoyed it. And, I mean, I think even the bad MCU movies are better than whatever DC has been trying to do, which they can't seem to write.
You do realize you're comparing filet mignon to ground beef, right?
Ooh, it's a lot of different. I realize, like, a lot of the characters in DC, so good. I'm just very, I want to express my disappointment in the people who do a lot of the DC movies.
And I will absolutely say this again. The problem with the DC live-action movies is, for starters, they're getting the wrong people. Secondly, they're making every character as serious as Batman. And don't get me started on Wonder Woman 84. You're starting wishing people? It's like, oh, my arch enemy is now a freaking genie with side effects? Now, here's an idea.
Yeah.
Make the cheetah the main villain and just go the lizard route. She's a geneticist who steals from banks to fund her research. Is that the best movie idea we have? No. Is it a lot better than what we got? Absolutely.
Exactly. So yeah, it's just disappointing because there's so many stories in DC that you could tell well, and I don't know why they can't make a good movie. Like, why?
I am a huge fan of the DCAU, DC Animated Universe. It works
better.
DC characters definitely work better as series because you watch character growth and development.
Yeah.
Movies, on the other hand, they're just there to make a buck. Like, movies don't really hold the same amount of water that they used to.
That's
it. If
we
don't
get
Danny DeVito
point.
As
so
Mole Man for the MCU, I am switching to pure DC content. That's all I'm saying. Just have him go freaking Frank Reynolds on the Fantastic Four. That's all I want. I don't think I'm asking for much. I mean, hopefully he's still alive, knock on wood, by the time Fantastic Four officially becomes Disney/Marvel property. Hopefully.
Hopefully. I'll cross my fingers for you as well.
Yes, please and thank you.
Welcome.
And if there's anybody you think would be a better contender for Mole Man, please let me know in the next episode. Do a little research.
I'm interested to hear what people come with. Yeah.
Yes. Can you imagine all the short people in Hollywood that would be great for Mole Man? So either Danny DeVito or Peter Dinklage.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that's just like Danny DeVito callback to, like, the Penguin, if he was just reprising that type of thing.
No. He needs to go full Sunny in Philadelphia for this role. So anyway, my monster sock blasting experience. We're wrapping this up, so... So we didn't get any answers for this week's trivia. That's okay. I'm sure one of y'all will answer the question probably next time. In the South Park COVID special, which South Park character is responsible for causing COVID? Randy Marsh. I don't want to get too into it, but let's just say he had relationships with someone, specifically something he shouldn't have. So, Stephanie, one more time, who you are, where you can be found, and all that other fun stuff?
Stephanie Stone with Middle Kingdom Creatives out here in Beijing, China. We're releasing the Dystopian Detective Agency, a quirky film noir comedy sci-fi, and that'll be on Audible and Spotify soon. Find us on Middle Kingdom Creatives on Facebook, YouTube for some behind-the-scenes content, and Instagram.
Terrific. Stay tuned next week as I bring in Connor De La Brewer. Apologies if I'm butchering that last name, Connor, if you're listening to this episode, as we discuss our comics literature. By that, the topic's self-explanatory. We discuss how and why comics are literature, and if you don't agree with us, well, feel free to hang up, because we're not going to change our mind about that. But until then, stay tuned and stay geeky, everyone.